Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome to hour number two of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We take you all the way till 4 o'clock, so you've got plenty of time to join in, be a suspect, and participate within the show. Covered Monday Night Football, talking a little bit about the Rockets right now. Look, a win is a win, and they got themselves a win. And then it becomes, you know, where are you with what do you think of this team and the fact that, you know, with injuries, you're going to get Eric Gordon back. And we've said, do they have enough? What are they going to do? You look at the whole thing, too. I was happy from the standpoint of you gave a game away to San Antonio about a week ago, and then you were worried about a missed dunk that could have or could have not changed the outcome of the game. You know what you did? You just flipped the script, and you went from down 25, like San Antonio was a week ago, and you found a way to win a game. So I like that part of it.
You got to give them credit because that would have been back-to-back losses at home. That would have sucked.
And so, you know, I just think, too, that the other thing that we talked about the other day was you are not in a position to take the liberties that the Clippers and the Lakers don't do it as much, and LeBron is very much against rest now, suddenly. But from a Clippers perspective, I don't think you have the depth to be able to say, Paul George, you take this game off. Kawhi, you take this game off. We're still going to win. I think that you learned something in that Pistons game. You can't be that quick to press the rest button on your two best players until you know and get more established in terms of what your team is and how you're going to play.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every coach looks at that differently. You know, Pop never really cared. Some people do. It's a dangerous gamble to play, I think, when you rest your players because you have to have, I feel like, a certain amount of belief in your team that they're going to get somewhere in the postseason before you do something like that, in my opinion. But one thing, the last thing I'll say about the game that I felt like needed to be addressed is Spurs fans may not like me. Rockets fans probably might like this. But Greg Popovich, and I don't want to take anything away from him, but, I mean, look, five-time champion. I think he coached the All-Star game two or three times. He was coach of the year three times.
He's
served our country. The guy is absolutely, on and off the court, a great guy. But every other coach has to abide by the rules when it comes down to addressing the media. And when he met with the media before pregame, before the game started, he was just so adamant about not having any lights on. And it was so dark. And he's that entitled to the point where he feels like he can tell people and cameramen to tell their lights on. And that's the second time I've seen him do that, and I'm just done with it, dude. I just don't think he should be able to get away with stuff like that. You should be able to talk to people just like anybody else. And he literally told the cameraman, hey, man, just turn that off. And he tried to turn it down as opposed to off. And he's like, no, you don't need the light. Turn it down.
Yeah, he's overstepping his bounds. That's not
his call. I just don't like that. I just think he's too entitled. I'll blame some of it on his age. I didn't realize he was 70. But, geez.
Go like, at him, Nick. Tell him he can't do that.
Next time there's a scrum,
you can go at him. You got a media pass.
I should.
Say, coach, that's not your concern.
I just don't understand why. I just don't understand why he does stuff like that. Like, what makes you better than the other coaches just because you won five? I don't believe that if you won five championships, that gives you the right to tell people to turn their lights off, their equipment and stuff like that. I just don't get how entitled that guy is.
Maybe he has migraines.
That's the only thing, and I told you that before the show. The one excuse that I would take is if there's some health condition with his eyes that we've never heard of, but, you know, health is obviously a confidential type of thing.
Get him a sunglasses sponsorship. Then he can come to the press conference wearing his shades, looking all cool, and don't have to worry about the bright lights.
I mean, just answer the questions. Don't worry about the light, Greg. Your team sucks. Like, I just don't get that. Like, I've never gotten that.
I really, it does bother me that people kind of give him a pass the in-game interview. He said he hates doing it. He doesn't want to do it. So then he makes it a very antagonistic and very tense moment in which he basically likes the fact that he makes the sideline reporters squirm.
Do you think, and I'm not trying to be funny here, do you think it's a vanity thing? Do you think that maybe with the lights on and it I mean, I don't know how to say this appropriately without coming off as a jerk, but, you know, he's not the most handsome man.
I don't think that has anything to do with it, though.
You don't think so?
I mean, he was always a pretty ugly dude. I mean,
but I'm just saying, like, you know, like I don't know if it's acne scars or whatever, but he does have some scars or some pock marks on his face, and maybe that's why. Maybe if the lights are real bright, it really magnifies that, and he's self conscious about it. And I'm
the
being
way he described
that.
It though is like, man, I you know, it's in my eyes. I can't look at
that.
It.
I can see if like you know if you're trying to.
But he would say that he's not going to come out and be like, ah, guys, it makes me look bad. He's just going to be like, yeah, it's in my eyes. I don't want to see that. Yeah.
But this is the whole Bill O'Brien thing too. You have to respect it a little bit more, whether it's right or not, because he's the dynasty of the NBA in our generations, just like the Patriots and Belichick or Alabama and Nick Saban. Bill O'Brien hasn't gotten that yet, but he has that attitude too. But it does rub people the wrong way. It's just that I think more people are more willing to do what he asks for in like turning the light off because of his resume, whereas they might be a little bit more willing to stand up to him if he was Bill O'Brien.
I would agree with that. I feel like his resume allows him to get away with one. Belichick is another example.
But it's not his call. The thing is, I understand if it's in his face and he wants to be the old school guy that likes to look at the people asking the questions in the face. But even still, they got a job to do. And like you said before the show, if the cameraman doesn't use his light, then essentially all I'm getting is audio. Because the video is not going to be able to be used. And that's a problem.
Dark. Yeah. I didn't like that. I just wanted to throw that out there about Pop because he is kind of an entitled coach when it comes down to meeting with the media. Sure, the media has their own flaws and they do things to get the story, but I thought that was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not very cool.
I think the other thing too that was the little first half, and you mentioned it, Barry, the dust up between DeJounte Murray and Harden, and then I retweeted the fact that he actually tweeted after the game, but he had brought it up like you could tell there was a problem. DeJounte Murray's dad put out there that the last time that the two teams played, that DeJounte Murray got hurt. And he was like, no one, I knew I didn't like this guy. But essentially he was saying Harden, who was next to him, who had a hand on him, was kind of there when DeJounte Murray went down and suffered a leg injury. And then coincidentally decided to tweet that out right after the game when they got into it again. And it's like, oh, you guys are right. Because the one thing I will give DeJounte Murray credit for is he's a buck 50 wet.
Yeah.
But he went at James Harden. Yeah. But also, guys, don't think it's not out there that James is fake tough. That he's going to talk to you a good game. He might throw you that quick first shove. He's Kevin Garnett-ish in the fact that he doesn't want any. And DeJounte Murray put the two hands and stuck it right in his chest and basically pointed like, if you want to do this, I'm here. And I give him credit for that. Because he obviously knows James is the name. Mm-hmm. And of the two, they got double technicals. But I didn't think he had it in him to be stand up to James like that. Because the other thing, if you look at the video, was James's security guy got in there in about 2.1 seconds. So I think they all know that James isn't going to get...
Can you do that? Can the security guy come on the court?
Yeah, especially
he's considered part of the bench.
Here's the thing. So they have a director of team security. In this case, it's a great dude by the name of Bryant Savage, okay? But then Bryant Savage, for a lot of reasons, ends up being the boss. He basically gets league credentials for James's security guy and Russ's security guy, or last year Chris Paul's security guy, and they become team security. If they were just his security guard, then they wouldn't be down on the bench. They wouldn't have that access. Yeah. But you see it time and time again because their sole focus and job is to protect those two guys. They're out there as quick as possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
God, wouldn't it be nice to have security?
Dude, I'm going to tell you something. You want to talk the cushiest job in the world? You're treated just like an NBA player. You get all the perks.
Yeah.
And your responsibility is to just make sure that nothing happens to a guy that between building security and everything else around there, it's pretty hard to lose track of that guy and get him hurt.
Speaking of that, real quick, I want to give a shout out to Salvino. He's a listener. He came up to, he won a prize listening to our show, and he came up to collect it. Well, I was out in the parking lot, and, you know, yesterday we were talking about stalkers and, you know, all that stuff when it comes to radio and that chick that worked at 104 that got shot. Well, I had parked and I was getting out of my car to empty some trash out of my front. And then I could hear a car pull up behind me, And I just heard somebody, I can't see, but I heard somebody go, "Hey, are you Barry Laminack?" And I was like, oh, in my head, I was like, oh, hell, here we go. So I turned around, I was like, yeah, what? Like, I was all attitude. He was like, oh, I was like, oh, my bad. Like, okay, I didn't know. And then Nick at the same time comes out. He goes, oh, hey, what's up, Salvino? And I was like, oh, okay, Nick. Now it made me feel better because Nick knew who he was. And I was like, it ain't going down like this, pal. Well, and then I realized he was cool and chill and all that. But that scared the crap out of me.
Super nice guy.
Yeah.
Joel and I ran into him when
we met
him
at the front desk.
Yeah.
So good dude. And he's a loyal listener, so we appreciate him.
Yeah, and congrats on winning.
And congrats nice on a new baby as well.
And nice to meet you.
That's right. And a new baby. So congratulations on that as well.
Very cool.
There you go on that. So we'll continue to roll on. Lots of other things to get to in the show. So again, phone lines are open. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. We'll continue to get to what you want to talk about and some stuff we have on our list too.
Hey guys, you ready to heat things up for the Christmas holidays? Are you? Here's a win-win for you. Here's the deal. Like, you know, it's cold and sometimes it's hard to get things going, if you know what I mean. Until she's warm and snuggly, and the best way to do that is the world famous Hoodie Footy from Pajamagram. Get her something that's going to make her feel hot and heat up your holidays at the same time. And I say world famous. Look, these are worldwide, and they've been around for a long time now. In fact, they're celebrating their 10-year anniversary. I'm going to have a deal for you, so stick around for that in just a second. But look, I ordered Nora the Hoodie Footy. I got her the Varsity, and I cannot wait until it gets here because I know my wife, and man, she's always cold, and her feet are always cold, and this is the ultimate solution for that. It's cozy, it's warm, it's soft, and at the same time, you know, when they get warmed up, it's it could be a good thing for you, if you know what I mean. So go check it out right now. Go log on to pajamagram.com. And when you do, look, they're celebrating their 10-year anniversary of the Hoodie Footy. So they're going to give you a special deal. All you got to do is use code SAVE10 at checkout, and you're going to save $10 off of your adult-sized Hoodie Footy that you order just because they're celebrating the 10 years. And don't worry, they're going to wrap it for you. They're going to get it there before Christmas, and they're going to back it with a 100% lifetime guarantee. There's no risk for you whatsoever. Happy wife, happy life. Go take care of her right now. Go log on to pajamagram.com. Put in that code SAVE10. Save yourself a little scratch in the process. And hey, while you're checking out, down there in the comments box, make sure you tell them Barry from ESPN 97.5 sent you.
Back rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be in the big city as we span the globe and cover all kinds of topics that may or may not be on your mind as we roll through a Tuesday in the big city. We've covered some football, covered some Rockets.
I have a question for y'all.
Yes.
So, you know, I've been going to the gym.
Okay.
And I'm not the most fashionable guy at the gym. I have like one pair of, I guess you would call them tights. I don't know if they're exactly tights. They're actually made for running, but I wore them because it was cold the other day. And
no, wait. Are they tights or are they shorts?
Because they go all the way to the ankle.
Okay, then they're tights.
Yeah, they're like the tights, like running tights.
Yeah, because a lot of people call compression shorts tights.
Yeah, no, these are Nike running pants or running tights or whatever for men. Mm-hmm. They got a little zipper at the bottom.
Yeah, like the pantyhose I got for Joel. From the Rockets game yesterday, but go ahead.
You got him pantyhose?
No.
Continue, Barry.
You got pantyhose?
Sure did.
I'll show them to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Do they have like a little basket and everything right there for the panty liner?
On the end.
Well, that's how you know they're not pantyhose because they got zippers on.
If they have zippers on the end, they're not true compression shorts for performance.
Well, they're not shorts.
Go ahead.
They're pants.
True compression tights for performance don't need zippers, but go ahead.
Well, how the hell are you going to get your foot through there?
You pull them on like compression. That's like pantyhose? The thing. You got to pull them on. They're really super tight to create that kind of.
That's not what these aren't for that. These aren't compression. They're just like running tights. They're not compression.
They're more like.
They're closer.
They're more like skinny pants.
Spandex?
Yeah, but they're not tights. I don't know how to describe it.
They're like skinny pants. They're like skinny jeans for runners.
No, they're tights. But, anyways, God bless you. Y'all got me way off.
That's why I said I didn't want to interrupt you. My bad. That was my bad.
Way to go, Nick.
There was another dude there, and I'm not judging because I'm wearing tights, but I am judging because his tights go to his knees. That's like. The chicks wear that, right?
No. Well, the knees, three quarters are basically the in cut right now.
For dudes.
Yeah.
down to your calf.
Right, right below your calf.
No,
right at
this
your
is
calf.
At the knee.
That's like the late 90s, early 2000s style.
I don't like
no, they're almost like they're. If you see like chicks that do jazzercise and they got like the unitard and then they got the little tights that go to the knee.
Oh, yeah.
This dude was wearing those tights that goes to the knee. And I was like, oh, I'm not judging, but I'm judging.
Yeah, I'm not wearing that.
No.
Ever.
I'm either just going to wear shorts or I'm going to wear those, like the tights that I have. Because they're like legitimate. But I also, because there are some guys that'll just wear those tights and then their hogs out. And you're like, bro, come on. You could put a pair of shorts on
I will
that.
Never understand that in a million years. Even if I was hung like a tripod, I would not still be
wear
wearing.
Shorts.
Yes, I would never just wear
it's weird.
Tights.
It's weird.
Yeah, I'm totally in that camp. I can't understand, even if you think that's your calling card. Women are savvy enough to pick up on what you've got going without you needing to just flat out throw it out there.
Somebody said a grown-ass man wears tights to the gym. Were you wearing shorts over the tights? Yeah, I'm sorry. Your dumbass doesn't understand
yeah,
how.
Yeah, he's saying there is no shorts. I thought the same thing, too. That's what we were talking about.
What are you, huh?
I'm agreeing with you and not the texter.
The texter, yeah.
That's shocking. What is wrong with
you? A grown man wearing tights to the gym.
He missed what we were saying.
Yeah, they're for working out, you idiot.
Well, you're obviously in the Greg Popovich category that still wears those the gym shorts that are like.
I was going to say.
4 inches long.
This
like John
dude
Stockton.
Wears headbands, and he probably still has like cargo shorts and like get out of here.
Here's
clown.
A newsbreaker. Just turn on any basketball game, and I don't care if it's NCAA, NBA, even high school, and tell me how many guys on the floor participating aren't wearing tights of some form, whether it be all the way full length, three quarters length, or just you understand that's what you do.
It's always these dudes that got to make themselves feel and sound manly by making fun of something that they really don't understand. Like, oh, you wear tights like a bitch. Okay, well, I'm sorry you're not secure enough in your own manhood where you're out there running whatever stupid-ass, whack workout clothes you wear. But, yeah, they're running tights. Like, just go to Nike and Google men's running tights. Jeez.
It's just the word tights. Dudes don't really use that word.
Yeah.
They don't want to use that word to describe.
I didn't say yoga pants.
But even tights, that's not.
See, like that, like those right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But those are zippers on there?
Yeah. Because they're truer actual running. They're for running and not just like compression.
Oh, because that looked like a compression type short to me.
Well, I was just showing you kind of like what they look like a little bit.
Okay.
You know what I didn't get, though? Is the lawn care clothes that came out by Adidas. I never circled back to those.
Yeah, I was the one that
I need
brought
to go
that
back.
To your attention.
I know. I need to go circle back and get me some of those. Summer's coming. If you guys want to get me something for Christmas.
Boy.
Okay, or not. That's fine. Nick, do you wear a sports bra when you work out?
I do not.
Okay, sorry. I'm just checking.
What'd you call those little snuggies that you wore to swim in?
They're jammers, but they didn't look like
jammers.
Anything like those pantyhose that I got
you. Because
they
are jamming
from.
Your grapes on every stroke in the pool. They're jammers.
Uh-huh.
Not jammies, jammers.
Jammers, and they're like $65 for these jammers.
Do you wear shorts over them?
No, they're for swimming.
I would still probably wear shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need to be exposing.
Well, you kind of need, I don't want to use the word aerodynamic, but.
But you did.
You need, yeah, I did. You can't have shorts prevent, slow you down.
Okay.
In the water.
What, are you trying to get a world's land speed record in
trying
the pool?
To be Phelps, man.
At you're going to be like the Michael Phelps of Lifetime Fitness?
Yeah. Swim like a fish.
I don't think it's the shorts that are going to be slowing
you mean a
down.
Penis fish? You want to swim like a penis fish?
If it's fast.
Yeah, I mean. It's probably not the shorts causing the drag. It's probably the fat. Just throwing that out there.
That's the problem with the jammers. Is that
is it?
You have no business wearing them.
And then you get that
if
big ass muffin top.
Yeah.
But you're not the cool guy if you don't wear them.
Really?
You're not necessarily. You're not the cool guy, but you're not necessarily the loser. You're just not an active swimmer. You know what I mean?
Right. You want to be on the in crowd, which and the in crowd are all wearing jammers.
Here's how
you
can
can't
tell.
Just swim in board shorts.
Like I would do that.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of did that too. I mean, I wasn't the whole jammer. There was no way I was wearing that. But you know, a swimmer. You
well,
know,
you were thinking about buying them.
Well,
matter
when
fact,
I got
that was
shipped,
your excuse for,
a while,
for why you quit swimming.
So I was really consistent for about 2.5 weeks.
Right.
And then it just went to crap.
Yeah.
I'll blame it on the gym, though, because someone broke glass in one of the pools.
You blame it on the jammers. You were like, your timing wasn't going up because the jam, and you didn't want to spend all that money on jammers, so you just threw the towel in more ways than one.
But if you want, a real swimmer is usually in the jammers, and he has, like, these little bag that's meant to, like, drain water, and he has all his stuff in it. It's probably about this big, and that's how you know he's a, you know that guy can swim.
That's when you know, yeah, they're competitive. You know he
can go, yeah.
Okay.
You don't swim next to those people.
Chris Householder said, I bet that dude that was trying to give you mess about the tights wears a shooter sleeve at the gym. Probably.
Without, he's wearing tighty whiteies.
No doubt.
Yeah, and John Stockton's. Uh-huh. So there you have that. All right, crazily enough, fast first half. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show is on deck, and we'll get to it next. This is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, second half of the show starts right now. I would love to tell you guys that I even remember how I used to do the rear view and the...
Yeah?
But I don't even remember how I... what I used to exactly say, just to say that,
Say 90 in the books, 90 still to go, plenty more of the big show.
That I can do, but the people that said the rear view, the bigger thing was, like, you know, we used to say about, 90 in the rear view, 90 still to go.
No, you say 90 in the windshield, 90 in the rear view.
Okay. This is all confusing now.
Now I've confused myself, and I'm the one that used to say
I don't remember how much you were putting in the rear, to be honest with you.
Well, that's where Nick came in.
See?
All right.
Somebody hipped me to, who was it? It was Javier on Twitter said, Barry, they make shoes called Cujos that are yardwear shoes. They're shoes made to do the yard in. They're $120. Bro, I'm not paying $120 to mow in some shoes.
What are you talking about? You pay more than that for your Jordans.
That's for fashion. That's because I want to look good. This is the mow. All this is going to happen to these shoes. They're going to turn green from mowing.
Have you not seen the Chump Man line where they have Air Yard and?
No.
Because you can wear them in the yard and when you go at the mall.
Like I have old tennies. Like I have a pair of old K-Swiss yard shoes. I have a pair of old Nikes like from 10 years ago that were just runners, just a day, day runner yard shoes. And then I have my... steel toe Wolverine boots, yard shoes.
Yeah, but I think that there's actually the company has a website called Air Yard and .. because you can wear them in the yard and you can wear them
down
when you walk the mall.
He's doubled down.
The ones I'm looking at for $120 are, and I can't believe I'm talking about this, but they're black. They almost look like wannabe Adidas shoes.
Yeah, they're not. I'm not paying that.
But they're $120.
Yeah.
That's like people.
Would you pay $120? Yeah, they look like if you're like, oh, I have yard work and I need corrective shoes.
Well, but they tried to hip it up by putting a little neon on it. But other than that, it looks like the Seahawks coaching shoes in the wet weather. That's it. Looks like Seahawks coaching shoes in wet weather.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Javier, but I'm not paying for that. They have landscaping boots that are $175.
That's like the people that have so much time on their hands that they buy trail running shoes to run Memorial Park.
Yeah, that'll make
you
sense.
Just need running shoes.
And if I'm going to buy yard shoes, they need to have spikes on the end so that as I wear them around the yard, it aerates my lawn at the same time.
I told him just buy golf shoes.
But that's you got to
so
be
you can
long.
Fight
it's
off
be
some
like
of the feral hogs that attack you while you're cutting your grass.
Those let me are razorbacks,
tell you something. Let me tell you something. That's not razorbacks.
Those are razorbacks.
Two things. So one, the post office is completely incompetent. A couple nights ago, I had ordered this hat from Hat Club, and a couple nights ago, I'm sitting on the couch watching TV, and it's like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. So it's dark, and this van just pulls up in front of my house and stops. And I'm like, what's going on out there? Usually they'll pull into the driveway, and if I have a package, and leave it at the front door. Mm-hmm. It's just out by my mailbox, right? And I'm like, what? Are they going through my stuff? And they sit there for a while, then they drive off, and I'm like, oh, hell no. So I get up, and I undo the alarm, and I go outside, and they drive off, and I walk out there. And the first thing is, as I walk out there, it's very quiet. And then as I make like two more steps into the middle of my driveway, I hear something rustling and run off. And I freaked out. I thought, I'm about to die from a bunch of hogs. I don't want to die right now. It's too close to Christmas. So I ran back in the house real fast. And then We all know what you got. I looked.
You grabbed the gun.
I did. I went in and got my gun. I looked. No hogs. But then I go out to... I go out to the driveway. I go out to my mailbox. So the way my mailbox is like, it's like a, it's, you have to have a key to unlock it, right? So you can't just get in my mail. You can't just get the mail out of the mailbox.
Right, come on.
But the tray part you pull down, it's almost like, it's metal, almost like you would go to the post office and leave something in one of those mailboxes, but a smaller version of that, right? So it's got this little tray, this metal door tray thing that you, this dude, whoever it was that delivered it, pulls the door down and just sets the box on the door and drives off. I'm like, bro, why would you not just drive that up to the front? Why would you leave that? Let's like that. The other time UPS or the post office has done that, they literally left the box at the corner of my driveway, just on the ground.
Oh, they're getting more flippant.
I'm like, what are you doing?
I'll say this too.
Just trying to get my stuff stolen.
You're saying the post office.
Yeah.
But the thing that's unique to me is the fact that between the post office, FedEx, Amazon, now Amazon finally got their own trucks. But now they're because, and it's not even just in the holidays, even before the holidays, because they have so many deliveries to make, they're jobbing it out to a third party.
Yeah,
so now
and they
don't instead
care.
Of a UPS brown truck in front of my house or the FedEx orange and purple lettering on a truck, yeah. You just see some random rent-a-van
yeah.
stop in front of your house, and it's not like business hours. They're coming Sundays at night. They're like Barry said, they're coming till 10 o'clock at night, and I'll see on my phone, I'm watching TV, and it'll start flashing going, you have movement at your front door. I'm like, yep. It's 10 o'clock at night. And yep. There's some dude skipping back down on my down my walkway because he just threw two boxes. And you're right. Sometimes they throw it down the front porch. Sometimes they throw it as close as they can. It's like they've got a lot of liberties right now they're taking with the way they deliver these packages.
It's hard to find good help.
I don't trust those delivery guys anymore because not only are they doing that, they're stealing stuff. They're stealing dogs.
What?
Yeah.
They're stealing dogs?
Dogs.
At this time, not only are you going to get a whole bunch of Christmas gifts stolen by delivery drivers and by people who are trying to intercept your delivery, but... dogs are notoriously stolen by, I don't want to single any one company out, by delivery drivers. UPS, FedEx.
Really?
You mean the ones that are like in a yard and they can see that they're young?
You go
and
up to the door, maybe the dog was in the yard. They've got it on camera. I can't tell you how many stories I've seen where there's like a doorbell camera. I'm pretty sure you have a fancy camera in front of your house, Barry. And they literally recorded everything. You see the driver go up to the dog, pick it up, and go into the truck and leave.
Wow.
How can they be that smart on the dogs and what dogs are of value and dumb enough to realize
that they're
on my doorbell it says, please do not ring the doorbell because we have dogs. And I can't tell you when I go back and look on the camera and the recorded thing, how many dumbasses read the sign and then press the doorbell anyway.
Sure. I mean,
I think they read the sign.
You do know they don't care, right?
No, there's a lot of people that respect it.
But the ones that don't just don't care.
Yeah, they're the ones in the rent-a-van.
They can't read it.
They know that it's not going to be
just
traced
like,
back.
My job, drop the package, push the button. And if they don't read signs, they just drop the package, push the button.
It's true. I was a courier. I get it. I know. I was pretty – I didn't care. Did not
get it. Were jammers when you were a courier?
One time I got into an argument with one guy because he's like, you can't park your car here. I was like, man, I'm just going on the 15th floor to deliver a package. He's like, I don't care, man. If you leave your car here, we're going to tow it. I'm like, all right, call the tow truck. So I went to the 15th floor, delivered the package, and I came back. I was a real smart ass. I came back, and I was like, what happened to the tow truck, man? Where's your tow truck, bro? And he was so mad, and he put, like, this massive sticker on my window that was really difficult to take off. Yeah. And
wow.
Delivery drivers, because it's all about making that delivery. Get
yeah.
paid, man.
Yeah.
I don't got time for that.
Do you get paid, like, for the delivery, or do you just
as
have to?
As a courier, it's by the delivery, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that's why they're ringing. They're just ringing the doorbell, and they're out. On to the
I don't
next.
Care. I got time for you.
Yeah.
Man, I just, that, they are, their hours are getting sketchy. Their vehicles are getting sketchy. And their behavior is getting sketchy. But I don't know they were stealing dogs.
I didn't know they were stealing dogs either.
There's a video of it. I'll send you
That's
the link,
crazy.
Actually. I'll put it on the rundown.
I dare them to go try and steal one of my dogs. They're going to lose more than just than their job. They're going to lose a lot more than that. They go at some of those dogs.
Yet another problem you don't have with cats. Somebody texted this. I'm just going to read it verbatim. I'm not disparaging anyone. I'm not calling anyone out. I am reading this verbatim. Okay? The morning show, Granado and Raheel had Holly on as a cam girl, like Granado said. My question is, when will the usual suspects get a cam girl, and who would it be?
I know who it would be, but we don't need to do that.
I'm too picky. I don't want one official cam girl. I want a rotation.
I think I know exactly who it would be.
Who do you think it would be?
Well, we can't discuss it on there. You don't want to.
All right.
Do you?
I don't care.
Because I'll say it, but
I don't care.
No, I don't want to make
you uncomfortable.
I know
who it would be, and I know they would do it, and I know that you people would watch. I just don't think that we're in a – I don't think we have to do that.
I don't think she needs to do it.
She doesn't need it either, right? It would just be more of less.
She's got her two businesses.
She's a suspect, yeah. And she would fit right
plenty
in.
Plenty of Twitter followers. We've had her on the show before.
You guys would love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think we need – we just give you like Instagram models to go follow. You don't need – we don't need a cam girl. Although on occasion we'll have hot chicks on the show.
Absolutely.
But no. And then, you know, if you want to see press, we'll zoom in on Joel.
When we find girls that we find and think that are really, really pretty and fitting, then we'll have them on the show.
Yeah. But we don't have to stoop to those levels.
I didn't say that. Differentiate the voices, people. In this instance, please differentiate the voices.
Just kidding. We totally stoop to that level anytime, anywhere. Hey, guys, it's the holidays. You are running out of time, but you know what? I have a solution for you, and my guy Mark Klein at Klein's Fine Jewelry is going to be able to get you looking like a hero, like he did for me with my wife. Mark, how can you take care of the people? Because we got, what, a week to go?
Yeah, just a week to go. You know, it's still, we got time because we have all the guys right here in the back that make everything. Man, if you come to us, it isn't like going to some half price sale in the mall. It's not going to some bogus discount sale that you don't have any idea what you're doing as far as looking for diamonds. If you need help and you're looking for diamonds, diamond pendants, diamond earrings, diamond bracelets, what am I going to get for Christmas? You have a week to go. You come into Klein's, we have thousands of pieces in stock, whether it's diamond earrings, diamond bracelets, diamond whatever. We make it right here in the store, and it's better priced than anywhere else in the city of Houston. I've been doing it. My family's been doing it since 1969. I started in 1990. Obviously, we're doing something right. We take care of the customer every single time. We wrap it for you. We take care of you. You're always going to come to Klein's because it's the best deal in the city of Houston. Plain and simple every single time. You can call us on the phone, 832-316-1388, 832-316-1388. You still have time for Christmas. We, like I said, we have it here in stock. You come in, we wrap it for you. You're taken care of. You park right in front. You don't got to go to a mall. So it's taken care of at Klein's Jewelry every single time. We're at Fountain View in Westheimer. We've been here for the last 30 years. Anything you want in jewelry, come to Klein's Jewelry. Give us a call at 832-316-1388. Thank you.
Guys, I wouldn't say you're wrong. He is literally the best in the business. Go do it. Mark, we appreciate it. That's Mark Klein, Klein's Fine Jewelry. We're going to be there Friday for the Christmas party. You can do your shopping then. We'll be back right after this. ESPN 97.5.
Hey, ESPN 97.5 continuing to celebrate the 12 days of Christmas a little early to help you, the listeners, out. And, of course, we always want to help the suspects. So, therefore, we get to give away stuff that you are going to like. And today we're giving away $50 gift cards to Berry Hill Baja Grill. That is a great gift. Berry Hill Baja Grill, $50 gift card. I'm going to give it away right now. Caller number 17, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. $50 gift card to Berry Hill so you can try some of their famed tamales and other delicious dishes, if I want to say it appropriately, tamales. Stay tuned for your chance to win all day 7A to 7P. And to order your tamales just in time for the holidays, head to BerryHillBajaGrill.com. BerryHillBajaGrill.com. There you go. Good luck.
Good luck.
Absolutely. Did you see, by the way, the Peloton chick? You know, she was getting a lot of play because of the whole commercial in which they thought it was sexist and it was offensive that Hubs got her a Peloton and, like, wanted her to work out and all this other stuff. So first, she gets a second gig out of it where the alcohol company has her do the whole...
Ryan Reynolds'
alcohol
company, yeah, right?
Whatever it is. Ryan Reynolds is his vodka company, I believe it is.
Gin.
Or gin, okay. Yeah. Now, she gets a role on The Bold and the Beautiful.
Good for
her. I don't know if that's based on her acting prowess or they're just capitalizing wisely if they are.
Sure.
Give them credit if they're just going, hey, we're going to capitalize on this. We're going to put her on our soap opera. But regardless, she's cashing in. Good for her, too.
Got a lot of heat right now. Take advantage of it, right?
And she didn't write the script. She just got the gig and went and showed up and did her thing. Good for her. She's getting more work out of it.
The benefit of trending.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Yeah, I mean, thank you, social media and otherwise, right? So that's a kudos to her for that.
Hey, there was an update on the sign stealing with the Astros.
Oh.
Yeah.
They still cheated, right?
Essentially, that's what it looks like. And now they're just arguing over semantics. Like, it's the article was, it was by Andy Martino of SNY.TV. But it said the Astros maintain their belief that the actions at the time were, quote, in line with industry standards. The newest sticking point is an insistence out of Houston that the camera in question was already in place and not purchased or installed specifically for the purpose of stealing signs. So they're not saying they didn't steal signs. They're saying they didn't set up the technology specifically to steal signs, and that the fact that they were using cameras to steal signs was in line with industry standards. And to that point, they're right.
But Barry, this goes back to what we already talked about. This is what when you remember you talked about at the start of the show too, how we say things and then people pick up on it.
Uh-huh.
We said for quite a while now, there's a huge difference between just tapping into the feed from your TV network or setting up your own unmanned camera that is only there for the sole purpose of stealing signs.
Or in the case of the Yankees a couple of years ago, actually moving your cameras to better steal signs, which is what the Yankees did.
Alibi is still, hey, it's the Yes Network's camera, so we're not
ours.
Doing this specifically for that purpose. So it's kind of like they got the built-in alibi.
It says, it may seem a bizarre place to draw a line in the stand and on its own hardly exculpatory, but the installation of equipment does affect the breadth of involvement necessary to put their sign-stealing process in place.
How many times have you used the breadth of involvement?
I mean, breadth, not breath.
Oh.
Breadth.
I don't know. For all intents and purposes, I was wondering. See what I did there?
And by the way, several people on the text line guessed who we were talking about.
Good. And they probably are better off.
Please
get
her
on
the
show.
Yeah. They're like, please get her back on the show.
Yeah. And we need to. I've been saying it. She agreed to do it. And we just never got back to getting our schedules to coincide so we could. So we'll definitely do that.
We'll get her on the show again.
So with that said, the other thing is, whether you think he's stealing money or somehow, some way, his agent is all world. Wade Miley got a 2-year contract to continue pitching in the major leagues. This was a guy that was going to mail it in and just wrap it up a couple years ago. Had a really good year for the Brewers. Turned that into a 1-year, $5 million deal for the Astros. Look, and we all know it didn't end well, but he was an innings eater that did a lot of good things for the Astros, too. But look, they gave him every opportunity to be a part of that roster in the playoffs and find whatever he lost late in the season. But based on his last late season performance, I didn't think anybody was giving him more than a 1-year make good contract similar to what he signed last year, 1-5. He got 2-15 from the Cincinnati Reds.
Crazy. I wouldn't have paid him that.
Either. Tip of the cap to him and his agent and getting more money like that. But I just didn't see any team that was going to try to take that big of a chance.
Yeah, whatever he did in Milwaukee, he was unable to replicate here in Houston over the long haul. Because, he ended up with almost a 4 ERA. He did win 14 games. You have to give him his just due on that. He won
14 games with one of the best offenses in baseball.
Yeah, and he lost 6, but he had almost a 4 ERA. The whip was not great at 1.3. That was pretty terrible, actually. 1.34, almost 1.35. But where he's going, it was his pitching coach in Milwaukee. So if you look at his career before, it was okay with Arizona when he was with Baltimore, and it wasn't great. Seattle wasn't great. But once he went to Milwaukee, they figured something out based on the way he pitches, and it was very effective.
I saw that, but Barry, if you can't win with Brett Strom as your pitching coach,
but he doesn't throw that upper 90s four-seamer that the Astros like, and then he's not a spin rate guy. He's not. He's a soft tosser.
Well, I know he is, but I mean, at the same time, look, they said that, was it the split that he developed that saved his career? So, okay. Well,
it's just
good
not,
luck to
it
you.
Wasn't a fit. Yeah, good luck to him. Now, the Astros did re-sign somebody. They re-signed Joe Smith, 2 years, $8 million.
That's a deal compared to his last contract with them.
Yeah, I mean, for a year.
I'll take that.
Yeah, me too. He's 35, but he can still get it done. I mean, he's going to go out there and give you a different arm angle and give you a guy that can, you know,
the only concern
high
is,
leverage. I mean, he was one of their more reliable closers at the, or not closers, but relievers at the end of the year.
I was supposed to say, the only concern is, you know what he's going to be in the playoffs. You and I talked about this. I talked about his playoff record is stellar throughout his career of his ability to get people out. But what happens in the regular season sometimes, I just don't know. I don't know if it's just that, you know, you kind of get lackadaisical and lose focus
Joe
or whatever.
Joe Smith or Wade Miley?
Joe Smith.
Joe Smith.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he just wasn't as effective in the regular season as he was in the playoffs. But you're right. He was one of the – we talk about trust. He was one of those rare few guys A.J. Hinch trusted down the stretch for this team last year.
Yeah, injuries kept him off of the field for a long time. Only had 28 games, but 180 ERA.
I'd have been a lot happier if you just told me that they signed Will Harris. Because Will Harris is going to be a little bit more challenging than he would have been at the start of last season when you thought, at the end of the year, we'll just sign him, same kind of deal, bring him back, it'll be fine. He's highly sought after now because of the way he pitched all season and then into the playoffs.
I would agree with that.
And no one cares that he blew one game in the World Series. Everybody's looking at that body of work and going, you know what? I'll take Will Harris in my bullpen.
So, yeah, I would agree with that. I hope that they get that figured out.
Me too.
But look, you can't pay everybody.
You can't.
And if his price has gone up significantly, they're already looking at a pretty stout payroll.
Well, but the other thing was, I'm glad that at least we found out that Jeff Luhnow has a heartbeat and he's out there somewhere, because I was wondering when they were going to either do something other than watch guys go away.
What the hell
are
they going to do? They got no money.
But you got to bring, look, Barry, you got to have guys on the roster. You can trade. You can, you know, try and get deals done at the same kind of prices as you had last year for some of your guys if you want to bring them back. But do something to show that you're being somewhat active to try and build the roster.
But how distracted is he with the investigation?
I don't think he can worry about that. Because one of the drawbacks of the investigation may be he may get suspended. And if he gets suspended, now he's really going to be behind if he hasn't already got a plan or two in place in terms of who I can bring in, who I'm re-signing, who I'm targeting, maybe who I'm trying to trade for.
Well, I suspect what's happening is that he's out there making offers, but he doesn't have a lot of money to deal with. So he's getting beat by other teams. But he's making a push. He's trying to probably sign some guys. But they're operating on a budget. And so you can go out and try to give a guy like Ryu money, and then it comes back and you're like, well, okay, we didn't have enough. So what do you do? Now they've got to wait for the money that they do have to match what the market will be.
But we don't know that he's out there making offers. We haven't even heard.
I said I assume he is.
Yeah, but I was going to say, normally one of the guys in the rumor mill business kicks out, hey, even when so-and-so signed, these three teams were also in the running. When Garrett Cole signed, or when Rendon signed. Look, Rendon signed with the Angels, but the Dodgers and the White Sox were in the running. Or, you know, so I haven't heard the Astros associated with anything, which was kind of biggest concern.
If you're not in the running, because they don't have the money to be in the running. They're probably getting beat by at least three teams, which means they're not in the running. They're making the offers, but they're not top three. That's my guess.
I hope so, because they need a catcher. We know that.
Yeah,
both their catchers are free, so they got to do something there. Even if you rely on the guy they got from Oakland as a backup, I mean, they need a frontline catcher. They obviously have lots of contracts to sew up and or a bullpen to reconstruct. And with your starting rotation, are you going to do anything with it? Are you just going to rely on McCullers and guys you got with Urquidy and
your rotation is basically going to be the fifth spot is open.
Verlander,
Greinke, McCullers.
McCullers and Urquidy.
Yep. And then it's either going to be Forrest Whitley or whoever wins it out of spring training.
Well, I wish it was better than that, but okay. We'll see. I'm just glad Jeff Luhnow is alive. That helps me. All right. You know what else is alive? The third hour of the show. We've got two in the books, one to go. Final 60 minutes coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Tufort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go in here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.